this, our goal in being involved in any of this, is it's got to go back to the manufacturers.
Welcome to MassMEP's manufacturing podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Thank you for joining us on the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. Today's episode is titled Manufacturing Pipeline. MassMEP works with the top line, bottom line, and pipeline in manufacturing. And our three guests are really the individuals that are behind the scenes of the pipeline at MassMEP. So I'd like to introduce everyone to all three of you are first-time guests today, which is great. Karen Myhaver. She is the Manufacturing Your Career Coordinator. Welcome, Karen. Wendy Storm is our MACWIC Vocational Coordinator. Welcome, Wendy. And Sean Killam is the Director of Entrepreneurship. So welcome, Sean. So welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Obviously, they are all with us at MassMEP. Thanks for being here this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to ask you guys a question. The podcast that I had with, we did with Rep Roy, I asked them, you know, a couple of years ago when technology was really kind of starting to take over our lives, I would say. In my case, I say that because I have three children that their worlds revolve around technology. I never thought that my opinion of it would change, and mine has. From the way I perceived it before to how I perceive it today, because obviously we're still lucky. We all still get to work every single day. But the reason we get to work is because of the technology that we're using, like this. We're doing the podcast actually as a Zoom. So for you, I'll start with you guys. Karen, what do you think? Do you still view technology the same way, or what are your thoughts on it?
It's become the lifeline.
Yeah,
it really has. We've had to develop everything we were doing physically to be able to be done over Zoom and other virtual.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's become necessary in order for us to do our jobs.
Yeah.
So yes, I have a much different feeling about using it now than I used to.
Yeah. Wendy,
I've been really impressed with how quickly people who were not obviously all that familiar with technology have really taken the ball and run with it. Yeah. I work with a lot of teachers who have the things that they do, and those are the things that they do, and they've had to completely relearn, rework, and redesign how they do them. And it's really been an impressive thing to watch.
Yeah. All right, Sean, how about your perspective?
Yeah, thank you. So technology certainly is essential today, and it's obviously been accelerated, or at least its introduction to us in this format has been accelerated in light of COVID-19. But I think it's important for us to be aware of the necessities of introducing these technologies to our future workforce, our students of the future now, because the lessons that they're learning in the classroom, the human skills, the soft skills, are so vital. And as we move towards machine learning and artificial intelligence, the human skills are going to be more important than ever. So even though technology is really useful and in many ways essential today, we still need to emphasize the soft skills. So being able to understand both sides of this, the in-classroom stuff and working with technology to continue working remotely is supremely relevant today. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, and it's funny because even, you know, with working with our project managers, when we do a lot of trainings, because obviously we switch to online virtual trainings and webinars, and there are certain project managers that will say when they get attendees in the room, they'll ask them to turn their cameras on because they still want to see that interaction and the face-to-face. And I like to read, you know, body and your body language and wearing a mask. I had got into a conversation with somebody in the grocery store and said to the, you know, the attendee that behind the cash register, I hate wearing a mask. And she said, yeah, but you can smile with your eyes and I can see that in you. And I said, yeah, maybe you and I can, but there are some people that I still can't read what's in those eyes. So I need a mask that has a clear visor in the front so everybody can still see, or I need everybody to wear that with me so I get it. But it's definitely a you, like you're saying, that human touch, the soft, you know, to have the soft skills is so important in this world. And so we're talking to you guys today because we wanted to touch base on what you three have been doing for the past, I don't even know how many months we've been in quarantine now or how long this has been going on. It feels like years, but really digging into what you've been keeping going with the pipeline for the past 3 months, I guess, since we kind of got put out on back in March. So how that's been working for you. Now, each one of you works in different areas, but you all somewhat, you overlap with each other as well. So just if you will kind of, I'll give each one of you some time, step in and say, you know, give me an explanation and let our audience know what it is, where you fall in the categories of what we work with, such as we have the AMP program, which is Sean. We have the MACWIC credentialing, which is Wendy. And then we have the manufacturing, which the career, Karen does a little bit more. We say she's oversees the manufacturing your career link, but there's so much more of that. It's not just that it's a link. There's a lot of elements that go into that as well behind the scenes. So I'm going to, and it kind of falls in that way, which is why we call it the pipeline. So Sean, I'm going to kick it off with you. Kind of give us an idea of what you do, what you've been doing, and how you're kind of keeping things going for us.
Sure. So I'm working more upstream. So I'm dealing with K through 12. The specifically concentrating right now, our focus is on the middle school age group. And we have developed the program All Made Possible at MassMEP, which is an advanced manufacturing education program that was initially introduced to the middle schools in late fall of 2019. So we were just kicking the program off at the turn of the year, and we were starting to gain momentum. We were entering into our second school district in the beginning of March, where we were delivering the program in class, introducing students to the technological innovations critical to the United States of America, specifically the technologies that are the being concentrated on by the Manufacturing USA Institutes.
Right.
And the program was a lot of fun. It was really received well by the schools, by the students, by their parents, their guardians, guidance counselors, etc. So we were very excited to keep it going, and then the schools closed. Oh. So the feedback from all of the schools were that they needed our support through these hard times, and we decided that we would step up to the plate and continue to provide the resources that we have to the schools, that even though the students are at home. Yeah. We transitioned to deliver the program remotely, and we have successfully been delivering remote learning in our Richmond program to the students at home for the last now almost 3 months.
Yeah.
And we're scaling up now. We're starting to introduce the program to even more schools and trying to reach more students as we transition into the now summer months, and we're going to continue developing summer programs to fill the gaps. There's been so many unfortunate cancellations of summer STEM camps and programs. So we're going to be filling those gaps and providing the opportunities for students to continue learning through the summer and then on into the fall.
That's awesome. So yeah. And it's, I know, of course, because I get to see this from you, but like the videos that you've been doing, and it kind of goes back to the technology side of it. when your last video, you showed how you transformed yourself from what you had done the first time when you did your video to how you changed it from when you did your second video. And so we obviously as adults are learning the same kind of thing. And the videos that you're doing are really awesome. Obviously we have them out there, but can you, you know, give us an idea how you do them or what the intent is behind those videos?
Of course. So the videos began as the response or answer to our need to connect with the students to continue with the programming. But our cautious approach to not wanting to invade the privacy of the students in their own home. Yeah. So rather than deliver the program synchronously live with the students in a format such as like Zoom or another web conferencing platform, we decided to pre-record the content and deliver asynchronously. So the best way to do it was from the comfort of my own home. I pulled up my camera phone and I set up a tripod and I started to nervously speak into record myself. And it was a lot of lessons learned there in the beginning, and I'm still learning as I go through. Yeah. But for the each week I was delivering a new video, which was aimed at to be about 15 minutes long. And we were trying to continue on with the same curriculum that we've been introducing into the schools. And that curriculum aligns with the Massachusetts curriculum frameworks. So the difficult part was to achieve both from my perspective of never being involved in video production and recording, to try and meet all of the necessary standards and requirements that the schools were expecting and get our content out that way. Yeah. But I'm improving tremendously as I go through, and the more I do it, the better I get. So technology has made it possible to continue delivering the program from home, but I think we all will continue to improve our own skills in working with not only the types of editing software and everything that's required to make it happen, but also just taking our form of delivery, whatever it is that how we produce value into our programs, find different ways of making it meaningful and engaging too, because the students aren't going to want to sit and watch just another video. Yeah. So you have to try and come up with creative ways and creative approaches to make it happen. And that's what I've been trying to do.
That's good. No, the videos are really awesome. Obviously, you can see them on our YouTube channel through Mass MEP. But do you, you know, we were talking about it earlier, the possibility of what is to come. And obviously, we don't have a crystal ball and we can't see into the future. But if this does progress and, you know, the fall semester per se kind of gets closed down, how do you think that's going to affect, you know, what you're doing and where you're going? Will you kind of keep it the same way, or what are your thoughts on it? Or have you may not even have thought about it yet, because you're just trying to keep in tune with what's going on right now.
We're forward thinking for sure. So we were in contact with a number of constituents related to the schools, but also industry and university. So we're all coming together collaboratively to plan ahead, anticipating that the schools may not reopen, but if they do, how do we transition this program back to the classroom? But what we've learned is that there's some real value that we've created here, and that there's in the future, students will probably be learning in the classroom in a blended learning format. So that's asynchronous and synchronous. So they'll be learning both virtually and, you know, live in the classroom. So we have the ability to deliver our excellent content through all sorts of ways to make it best for the students to learn. And also make it easiest for the educators to deliver. As we approach the summer, we're realizing that there is a strong likelihood that the fall will not be an in-class program, but we're prepared to continue to expand and deliver new content to the students, even if they're working from home. And that's really been encouraging for our partner schools, because they're going to need us going forward, and we certainly need them to reach the students to be able to deliver the content. So it's a symbiotic relationship we have going on here.
Yeah, it's definitely a common theme that seems to run through in every aspect of where we've touched and what we do touch every day with Mass MEP. whether it be with manufacturers in the schools, educators in the legislature, the common theme is that people just want to know if you have a plan and if there's support. And by the sounds of it, it sounds like there's definitely planning going on and the support will be there moving forward, which is great. So I'm going to kind of, and as we move through, I'm going to kind of ask, so Wendy, can you kind of jump in here and give us, so you're our MACWIC vocational coordinator at Mass MEP. Give us a background on that and kind of what Sean did as well, what you've been dealing with the past couple of months and where you are right now and what's going on with you.
Sure. So part of the MACWIC credentialing is, well, really the whole purpose of MACWIC credentialing is to help manufacturers have a better idea of the basic competencies, the basic skill sets of their entry-level employees. So my job in part is to, in the spring, travel around to all the different vocational high schools with the machine tool tech program in the state, as well as a lot of different traditional high schools, prison programs, continuing adult ed programs. And so things have really changed for me this spring because I haven't been able, obviously, to go into the schools. And it's something that we really want to make sure we can continue even in this time period. So we've been working really hard on trying to figure out how to pivot into a scenario that allows us to maintain fairness in the credentialing process. For most of the schools in the state that we work with, this is really the only independent third-party validation that they have. We're fully embedded into the Chapter 74 framework curriculum, and it's vital for the teachers and the students, and especially the manufacturers, that we're able to still work with them and give them the ability to learn. So one of the things that the teachers have been working with me on more recently is learning how to use some of the simulators. We offer the schools that we work with some curriculum resources, and one of them is called LearnCNC. It's an interactive online software program that has become recently very popular because, in the real world, the non-COVID world, I would say, a lot of the teachers didn't utilize the online resources fully because they didn't need to. And now, if you're not able to get on a machine and you want to teach a student how to use a machine, there are simulators and we can provide that option for them. So we've been working really hard to get everybody up to speed on that, get everything downloaded onto computers. And we've recently started figuring out how to do online proctored testing in a way that's fair. And so it's been a big change for everybody. I really give a lot of credit to the teachers I work with for just taking it and running with it. But it's not for sure.
Yeah. So earlier we were talking a little bit, and tell us, so the whole proctoring thing and being a facilitator of students, obviously I get to see it in my own home every day where I have, I'm the parent and I'm watching a teacher on a screen trying to deal with students that are in these tiny little boxes also on their monitors as well. How is that working for you? And because I'm sure there are some stipulations in how these tests are taken and things. How are you managing, or how are they managing to get through all that?
Well, so it's being done. I've got a big experiment, so to speak, coming up next week. I've got a large group of adult ed students that we're going to be putting through this. So they're my guinea pigs, really, because we've been doing it a little here and there, but it's been on a much smaller scale. And so everyone will, one at a time, be brought into the Zoom waiting room, and they're going to have to show their desk area and, show to us that it's clear of notes and their cell phone is not, with them. Right. We'll have them put that somewhere, And so again, it's just, all those little things to make sure that it's fair. When students take the test in person and also via Zoom, they're only allowed a calculator and a metric conversion chart. So we're just putting little things into place to make sure that we can keep that going and that they're not on other web browsers, things like that. It's a timed test.
So. Okay. So you're doing it, they're right in their homes when they're taking this test. Yes. Yeah. Wow. That's great. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So what are you thinking, you know, as if we do, I like how you said that, back in the normal world, and then you were like, I mean, the non-COVID world, you know, like, obviously this is our new normal, which is a little crazy. Yeah. What are your thoughts on moving forward and where this could go? And, you know, like Sean had stated, and even at Mass MEP, we're thinking the same things where it might be dual, you know, we might be having some that are physically present that are virtually. So what are you thinking? What are your thoughts?
I think that it's really going to depend on the school, how engaged the students are, how effective the tools that are in place become. One of the things that we're doing is offering online testing right now in a non-proctored fashion, in addition to some of the proctored opportunities. And we'll do that again in the fall, and if possible, we'll proctor them as well. But we're trying to give teachers a way to really judge the before and after of a teaching period. So it's not something that is going to be easy to implement long term. I'm really hopeful that we'll be able to get the students back in the classroom, because this is a hands-on job. And so it is great that we have simulators available. But for the level 2 testing, which covers CNC Mill and Lab and GD&T and programming and Lean, it is something that will be a little bit more difficult to really give students the skills for, as opposed to level 1 testing, which is all book related. You know, you yeah. can learn blueprint reading, you can learn measurement tools without actually having them in your hands if you need to. So it'll be interesting to see how it all works out. But we have really been able to put the tools into place for online learning that they needed. And so I'm glad we were able to help with that.
Thank you for joining us for the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. We had enough content from our guests, Sean Killam, Wendy Storm, and Karen Myhaver, that we were able to create a 2-part series. Join us next week for episode 2 of The Pipeline in Manufacturing.
Thank you so much for listening to Mass MEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of Mass MEP's podcasts, or for more information on how Mass MEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.